Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will, we shall, we must rejoice and be glad in it, thanking God for a new day that he has given us. And just want to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning asking you to increase as we decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. I say again, you, Lord God, are my strength. You, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. And I ask you, Father God, again, please increase as I decrease. And let these words permeate hearts, minds, and spirit, that someone who is not saved will say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get into our word this morning, coming out of Deuteronomy 3 through 4, verse 49. We are also coming out of the 36th Psalm, verses 7 through 12, which is where our title comes from this morning. Proverbs 12 and 7, and Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. Drum roll, please. We got a new word today, a new chapter that we'll be going into. We'll be going into the book of Luke. So I'm excited because Dr. Luke was good. So we're just tooling along through the Gospels. Hallelujah. We finished Mark on yesterday and starting Luke today, God willing. Get into our word. So please get your Bible. Drum roll, get your Bible because we got a lot of word today. So get your Bible. And let's give God glory today. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. And I'm thankful. And I'm blessed to be awake this morning because I don't know how life is, but I cannot sleep sometimes. So wind up watching stupid movies. And then I'm tired the next day, which is like crazy. So please pray for your sister that she can stay awake today because just had to been awake since early this morning. But I know that I serve a mighty God. And we're getting ready to get in the word. It says in chapter 3, verse 1 of Deuteronomy. Then we turn, this is Moses kind of going back over overview of Deuteronomy from yesterday. Our Friday, Moses is giving this new generation an overview. These are the children that were born in the wilderness. These are children that were very young when they left Egypt. Because, again, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. So if they were a baby, they're only 40 years old. And that 40-year-old has probably had children, and possibly their children have had children. So Moses is giving a history lesson because some of these people don't understand. Because remember, it was 20 years and up that probably are the ones that did not make it in. 20 years and down probably did. So you're looking at maybe some 60-year-olds that were like teenagers or younger when they left Egypt. So they don't know anything but wilderness. And so Moses is giving them a history lesson. This is what happened. This is why you were born in the wilderness. This is why this circumstance is happening. And understand that some of these children have not been circumcised either. So there's going to be a whole nother thing going on. This generation is going to have to go through because of their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents in some instances. So we're talking 4 decades these people have been in the wilderness, and they have forgotten some things, just like you think about even us, things that happened back in the 50s, back in the 60s, back in the 70s or 80s. You may not remember, because it seemed like it was so long ago. But we have to understand, history unknown is history repeated. So Moses is giving a history lesson. And then this is what he said. Then we turned and went up the road to Bashan. And Or, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to me, do not fear him, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand. You shall do to him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who dwells at Hebron. So the Lord our God also delivered into our hands Or, king of Bashan, with all his people. And we attacked him until he had no survivors remaining. And we took all his cities. At the time, there was not a city which we did not take from them, 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, besides a great many rural towns. And we utterly destroyed them, as we did to Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. But all the livestock and the spoil of the city we took as booty for ourselves. Wow. In other words, they killed. It was a genocide. They killed everybody. Everybody, including the babies. I'm like, and you know, your heart is saying, isn't that harsh? Isn't that awful? Because we look at it in our sanctified minds of today and not as the survival of yesterday. So we're like, wow, this is a little much. At least that's what I was saying. And, you know, but then I also had to look at what God was doing, because if you don't have that enemy to come back later, if they're done, because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, be hospitable. And it goes on to tell us, and at that time we took the land from the hand of the two kings of the Amorites who were on this side of the Jordan, from the river Arnon and Mount Hermon, the Sidonese called Hermon Siron, and the Amorites called it Sinar. All the cities of the plains, all Gilead, all Bashan, as far as Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Or and Bashan. And for only Or, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. It is not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon. 9 cubits is its length, and 4 cubits its width, according to the standard cubit. Wow. I'm going to look up something very quickly, because when you talk 9 cubits, this is what it says. A cubit is about 17.9 inches. So if you're looking at this man's bed being 9 cubits in its length and 4 cubits in width. And let's just see what a cubit is. How long is a cubit? Cubit in foot, in feet. Let's look that up. 1 cubit to a foot. So we're looking at 9 cubits long, right? It is 13 feet. 13 and a half feet. You think that through. 9 cubits is 13 and a half feet long. His bed was 9 cubits in its length, 4 cubits in its width. So his bed was 13 and a half by 6 feet long. Think that through. 13 and a half feet tall and 6 feet wide. His bed in width was taller than, was longer than I am tall. This thing was humongous. King of Bashan remained of the remnant of the giants. Indeed, his bedstead was an iron bed. It is not a robber of the people of Ammon. 9 cubits, 13 and a half feet in its length, and 4 cubits, 6 feet in its width, according to standard cubits. And this land which we possessed at that time from Arab, which is by the river Arnon and half of the mountains of Gilead and the cities I gave to the Reubenites and the Gittites. The rest of Gilead and all the Shah of the kingdom of Og I gave to half tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob with all Bashan was cities, was called the land of the giants. So we go back one more time. All the region of Argob with all Bashan was called the land of the giants. And, you know, folks want to make us think, oh, that's just, you know, a lot of fancy. No, the Bible tells you this man in his bed alone, and no, probably a little bit bigger than you are, but 13 cubits, which is 13 and a half feet by 6 feet, was his bed. Think that through. They were giants. And, you know, if you listen and watch, like, History Channel, where they do archaeological digs and such, they have found skulls of somebody that looks like a giant. They have found these humongous footprints that have been in, that are engraved in the ground, that are, you know, almost like your Hall of Fame on Hollywood Boulevard, but instead it's a footprint that's graved in the side of a mountain or in rock. Footprints. And they found a skull of giants. But they, and they found even a skeletal remain of a giant. But of course, because they don't want to say that the Bible is true, they hide this stuff. They hide these archaeological digs where they find that the Bible is telling you the truth, because they don't want to admit that what we have in our Word of God is history. His story is history. There were true giants on this world. Think that through again. 13 and a half feet tall. 13 and a half feet. We think a 6-footer, a 7-footer is tall. I was just in Alton, Illinois, a couple weekends ago, and went to the statue of the tallest man in America. And I only came up to his waist. That was here. Now, add some inches to that. Add some feet to that. I think he was like 9 feet tall. And again, if it was the Giants, I'd be at the Giants' knees. Think that. I'd be like a baby to a giant. But my little 5-foot self, he's 13 feet tall. The land of the giants existed. J.R., the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Argob as far as the border of the Gishurites and the Machanites, and called Bashan after his own name, Havoth J.R., to this day. Also, I gave Gilead to Makar and to the Reubenites and the Gittites. I have I gave from Gilead as far as the river Arnon, the middle of the river as the border as far as the river of Jabbok, the border of the people of Ammon, the plain also with the Jordan as the border from Chinnereth as far as the east side of the sea of the of Arabah, the salt sea below the slope of Pegasus. Of Pisgah. Then I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God has given you this land to possess. All you men of valor shall cross over armed before your brethren, the children. But your wives, your little ones, your livestock, I know that you have made it, have much livestock, shall stay in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord has given rest to your brethren as to you, as they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them beyond the Jordan. Then each of you may return for his possession, which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at the time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Our pastor talked about this yesterday. The Lord fights our battle. But you got to be up and be willing to go to battle and fight also for yourself. You got to fight too. You can't just say, oh, worth me, I'm done. Because if I did that, I wouldn't be here this morning. I'd still be asleep. But God, it's time to get up. It's time to go to work. It's time to get busy. And the Lord said in his word continuously, and this is what Moses said, oh, Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your might, mighty hand, for what God there is in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your work and your mighty deeds. I pray, let me cross over. Let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But again, Moses can't go in. He's wanting to go. He said, let me see it. Just let me go over just for a minute. And this is what he told him. Because, you know, Moses is keeping it real because he wants them to understand, I messed up too. Not only did your parents and grandparents not get to go in, and in some instances, great-grandparents not get to go in, I'm not going to even get to go in. And let me tell you why. He said, I pray. He was talking to God. I pray let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains of Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Speak no more to me of this manner. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west. Wow. Moses didn't go in. And he said, and lift your eyes toward the west, the north and the south and east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. So we stayed in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Chapter 4. Let's go back actually and get some life lessons from this last word we just read. Because God, even Moses, who was a good man, who followed God, except for he did not what God did do to that rock, and lost his position, lost his opportunity to make it in. Will we allow one thing we do to mess us up? You don't want to get caught in your sin when the Lord wrapped you. We got to be vigilant every day, not allowing the wiles of the enemy to knock us off our square. Because the one time you knocked off is the time the Lord could come. And it says this in Deuteronomy 3:22. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. God knew the tremendous obstacles that Joshua and the Israelites would face when conquering the promised land. And so he assured them that he would provide them with victory. They would not conquer. They would not conquer in their own strength. Come on now. They did not conquer in their own strength, but in his likewise, no matter what obstacles hinder you, the Lord can overcome it for you. Trust him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 26. Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this manner. The Bible teaches us to pray and keep on praying and not to give up. Luke 18:1, which we will get to. We may call upon God for any reason at any time regarding any problem or difficulty or challenge. Yet there may be some times when the Lord lets us know it is time to stop praying for a particular thing, because you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And Moses was praying and praying because he understood the power of prayer. But he was praying amiss because he knew that God had already told him. God had already made a decision. And the Lord is not a man that he should lie. So when he said, you're not going, you're not going. What a mighty word this morning. And let's keep going. Chapter 4 of Deuteronomy says, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes. And the judgments which I teach you, to observe that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal Peor, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God to us, for whatever reason? For whatever reason, we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in the law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the day they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. We got to teach our children the commandments of God. And it says this, then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, and darkness, cloud, and thick darkness and the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the word, saw no form. You only heard a voice. What a word. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me to that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or on the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth, and take it. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them. Come on now, and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the people under the whole heaven as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you to be his people, an inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry at me for your sake and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan. But you shall cross over and possess the good land. Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord, your God, which he made with you, and make for yourself a carved image in carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you begin children and grandchildren have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it. The will of hold it, but will be utterly destroyed. If there is a reader today, please push the number 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597. I'm having some issues this morning with seeing the words. They're a little small, and I'm having issues with my glasses. So please, if there is a reader today, King James, our new King James is preferable. But if you are in an NIV, that would be all right as well. Again, 213-943-3597, and push the 1 on your phone. We are looking for someone who likes to read the Bible and would like to read it out loud to our audience. So again, looking for readers, 213-943-3597. Push the 1 on your phone if you would like to read. I am going to continue, and we are in verse number 27. And the Lord will scatter you among the people, and you will be left few in number among the nations, where the Lord will drive you, and there you will serve God, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which are before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened, or any like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? Come on now. Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and by great terror, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt? I can honestly say no. Nobody has heard the voice of God coming out of a mountain of fire. Nobody. Except for this group of people. Since to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, that he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, to his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there who killed his neighbor unintentionally. And we talked about the cities of refuge without having hated him in time past, but by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. What a word today. God is giving us everything we need. And he tells us as we go forth here, he says, Belzar in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead for the Gittites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassehites. Now this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt on this side of the Jordan in the valley opposite Beth Peor in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwell at Hesbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt, and they took possession of the land in the land of Or, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan, till the rising of the sun from Eora, which is on the bank of the river Arnon. Oh, wow. He tells us this. And he tells us, he says, let me start at verse 47. And they took possession of his land, the land of Or, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan, toward the rising of the sun from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, even to Mount Sion, that is Hermon, and all the plain on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the sea of Araba, below the slopes of Pisgah. And that is our Old Testament word before Psalm and Proverbs. And it says in a life lesson, he says in life lesson 1, Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord your God is consuming fire, a jealous God. The Lord is jealous in the sense that his will, he will not share the hearts of his people with anyone else or anything else. We belong to him alone. We belong to him alone. Intimately with God is his highest priority for our lives. God loves us like that, and he wants the best of us. All we have to do is want the best for ourselves. And as we continue, says, he will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers. We serve a God who is powerful, awesome, mighty, loving, compassionate, and fully worthy of our trust. The Lord never makes a promise he can't keep, and he never forgets the promises of his God. I'm sorry, he cannot keep, hold it. He never forgets the promises he has made. Excuse me this morning, family. I apologize for my tiredness. Feeling my best today. Keep me in prayer, please. We are going into Psalm 36, verse 7 through 12. And this is where our title comes from for today. And it says this, how precious is your loving kindness, oh God. Can y'all say that with me? How precious is your loving kindness, oh God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Yes, Lord. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life in your light, easy light. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, continue your loving kindness who know you and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. Wow, what word. The workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Don't worry about what he said, she said. Woo-woo said, don't worry about somebody being mean and nasty. Because this is what the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are no more. But the house of the righteous, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will get to that in Joshua. But I tell you, God is wanting us to be strong, and he wants us to be courageous. Let's get that drum roll. We are coming out of a new chapter this morning. We are coming out of Luke, and an overview of Luke is this. not stated, but traditionally attributed to Luke, a Gentile physician, Colossians 4:14, and a missionary companion of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4:11. All right, now. And again, Paul was written probably around, Luke was written probably around 70 to 80 years after Jesus died, as the gospel was spreading throughout the Roman Empire. Understand, Christianity did not happen overnight. And the 10 words or less is this: Jesus is Savior of all people, whether Jew or Gentile. Jesus is for us all. He's for you. He's for me. He's for us all. Details, please. Luke's gospel is addressed to a man named Theophilus to set forth and order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us about Jesus Christ. It's unclear who Theophilus was, though some believe he may have been a Roman official, the most universal of the four gospels. Luke traces Jesus' genealogy beyond Abraham, the patriarch of the Jews, all the way back to Adam, the son of God, common ancestor of everyone. Can I say that again? Adam and Eve are the common ancestors of everyone. And it goes on to tell us. Luke also Luke also shows Jesus' companion for all people, Roman soldiers, widows, the sinful, the chronically ill, the lepers, and many others, including a criminal condemned to die on the cross beside Jesus. As with all the gospels, Luke shows Jesus' resurrection, adding detailed accounts of his appearance to two believers on the Emmaus Road and the remaining 11 disciples. As the gospel ends, Jesus is ascending into heaven, setting the stage for a sequel of sorts in Luke's book of Acts. Quotable, from where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Again, 99 will not be for God. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whoever shall lose his life, preserve it. Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Luke 18:17. For the Son of Man is come to seek to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Unique and unusual about the book of Luke is this. Luke is the only gospel to share Jesus' story, parable of the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, and the rich man and Lazarus. Luke is also the only gospel to detail Jesus' actual birth and words he spoke in childhood, both in chapter 2. So what? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you've done. Jesus came to seek and to save you. Wow, we got a lot of words in Luke, and it is all good. Luke 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, deliver them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest for God in the order of his division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot failed to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. But he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And that is our word for this morning. And as I said, it was an excellent word. I thank you for bearing with me this morning, as I am, again, a little under the weather, but I know that God is in charge, and we were able to get through all the word. I thank you, Father God, for your strength. I thank you, Father God, for being my strength. I thank you, Father God, for being in this place, Father, for your word says, "When two or three gather in your name, you will be in the midst." Father God, I thank you for being in the midst this morning. And as we go back to our life lessons, Lord God, I ask you to again give us clarity of mind and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You got to take time to pray and give God thanks when he got you through. And he got me through this word this morning. And I will not tell you a story. It was difficult because I am tired for some reason. And I know that God is in charge. But this is what the word says in Psalm 36:9. With you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. God offers the only real life there is. When we give ourselves to him and walk in the light he provides us in his word and by his spirit, we begin to see more and more how we can enjoy life to the fullest. Luke 1:4, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you are instructed. God wants us to know that the Bible teaches truth and can be trusted in all that it declares. The Gospels are not a collection of religious fairy tales. They are the source of eternal truth, God's word. Can y'all say that with me? This basic instruction before leaving earth is God's word. It's God's word. It is divinely appointed and divinely anointed, and it is important that we read it, that we study it, that we meditate on it day and night. And this is the word we just talked about, light, light of approval. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval Hebrews 11:2 in our SV. And it says, in the light of your faith, O God, I see myself more clearly. It is by faith that I have been saved, not through anything I could have ever done. I could not talk my way into your favor. Your goodness is poured out over my life in abundant grace, not because I did anything to deserve it, but because I am yours. I am in relationship with you through faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that this mystery is illustrated even in this very prayer. The very moment I turn to you in prayer, my faith is being exercised. There is nothing I could do to add or take away from what you've done. I couldn't talk you out of loving me. I won't stop turning to you, Lord. You are the best thing I've ever known. As I walk with you, fill me with your revelation, knowledge, and reveal who you are and what you are up to. May my faith grow so that I may be closer to you. That is all that matters. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And a word that is this. Are you trying to earn God's approval? Are you trying to earn God's approval? That's a thought for today. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, words from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And a word from Sister Carolyn this morning is yesterday's words and today's words. And yesterday was this, Sunday blessing. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. What a word. Have a blessed day. And, of course, that was Psalm chapter 28, verse 7, King James Version. Good morning. My hope is in Jesus because he gave me strength. Have a blessed day and good morning. And I'm going to read that again. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices with my song. Will I praise him? Oh, thank you, Jesus. My hope is in Jesus because he gives me strength. For your grace and your mercy. Just had to take a minute to just pray. That silent prayer goes a long way. Thank you, God. And a word for today is this. Good morning. If you're going through difficult times, keep trusting God. Hallelujah. That word's for me. He knows how and when to bless you in unexpected ways. Have a motivated Monday, family. I thank you all for listening. Please continue to keep us in prayer that we continue in this word, that God will bless this ministry, and that we will move forward, because how precious is your loving kindness, oh God. Thank God today for all of you. We bless family. It is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. We bless. Keep me in prayer today as I move forward and as you move forward. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you, and I need you to survive. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap.